Yes. Everyone,
we are back.
And what are we talking about today? I think this is a very interesting topic. Personally, I enjoy trolling people so much with these little things on TikTok and Instagram when it has to do with this topic. So I, for one, am very excited for us to be chatting about
just
this.
To talk about it. And again, as we always say here on the Dietitian Frequency, we give you the science and, you know, the pros and cons, and then give you a rope to hang yourself, basically. And just say, here you go. It's your life. Do what you want. But here is what the science says.
Exactly.
Today we are talking about detox diets. Detox diets as a whole detox fed diet, but also I think detox as a term, it's very important for us to talk about that. Earlier this year, so a couple of weeks ago, I was on Metro FM and we were somewhat dissecting and talking about detox diets, and callers and you know, people were just defending it so much, and they were like, you don't know what you're talking about. Detox diets work. So that I think let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about it.
And actually, I think you know what? We must try and distinguish between a detox diet as a diet and also detoxing medically, because if you overdose on a certain drug medically, you will need to detox. You will actually have to go through a process of detoxing to be able to remove those toxins from your system because they are physically causing damage. But when it comes to the detox diet, what is detoxifying and detoxification, and you know, what is that human physiology behind that, and how does what systems are involved in detoxing?
So the term detox is short from detoxification, and detoxification in a sense of human physiological terms or medical terms is when your body is getting rid of toxins. And I know as soon as the word toxins are mentioned, everyone gets scared and be thinking, oh, I need to remove toxins. The good news is that scientifically we don't do anything, you know, directly to say, now I'm removing toxins. The body has its own way of doing detoxification every single second of our lives.
Yeah.
This is done through many pathways. I'm going to talk about, you know, just mention some of them. Number one, sweat. As you are sweating, that is detoxification. That is your body getting rid of the toxins through sweat, through your skin. Secondly, going to the bathroom to do number one or number two. So when you're urinating, that is your body removing the toxins through your kidneys via urine. That's why you urinate. That is your toxins leaving your body. Also, if you're passing number two, feces. Through feces, your gut is involved in removing toxins through feces. Breath, as we are sitting, our lungs are involved in detoxification because certain toxins exit our body through breathing, through breath, you know. And liver is also involved in detoxification. In fact, liver is one of the organs that is spoken a lot of because it's directly involved in just making sure that when the certain levels of, say, alcohol, and then it will metabolize it or break it down to, you know, doable particles or substances in small quantities, and then your body is able to manage alcohol. So the actual science of detoxification or detox is that there are certain organs that are involved in detoxification. I've mentioned those organs, and we don't have to do anything specifically for detox, but we have to do everything we can to support the health of those organs. Now, you said there are times where there is you've consumed, whether it's a drug or you've consumed something in very high quantities, that your body now cannot handle the quantity and be able to detox it and clear those toxins very quickly. You find that that person is now ill, to be honest. That person now has some form of a failure of some sort. Sometimes it's a kidney failure, sometimes it's liver failure. And we see it like in liver failure, we see jaundice as a sign of liver failure, meaning now the toxins are accumulating in your body. Your body is not able to get rid of those toxins quick enough. Now you're ill, so you'll be in hospital or you'll be seen by a doctor. And then we do medically, there are certain detox techniques to help one deal with those toxins that have built up. But for a person who doesn't have any organ failure in that like that, that person does not have to do anything specifically to detox. Now, I must acknowledge there is a feeling, the feeling light. You know when you're feeling light?
Yeah.
You're feeling light as if, whew, you know, you've been drinking and eating quite a lot. Maybe it's during the holidays or birthday or whatever celebration. Then after that, you feel sluggish. You feel full. You feel, other people even say, I feel fat. That feeling, it's not really what's happening. We know that that's not really happening. It doesn't mean if you eat something today, then you've gained a kilogram tomorrow. It doesn't really work like that. Sometimes it might be fluid retention.
Yeah.
That feeling of feeling light, people mistake it for detoxification. They think the fact that I'm feeling light, it means that my body has detoxed now, only now. But the truth is detoxification or detoxing happens every day of our lives. So if we remember that bit, then we'll know that the feeling sluggish, maybe just you bloated, or as I'm saying, you've got fluid retention. And when we don't drink enough water, which normally when we're not eating well, we tend to do, then you retain water. So we need to drink more water to lose water in a way. So yeah, that is what detox is about. And a lot of sort of weight loss marketers or weight loss interventions marketers, and you know, they've now somewhat used that term detox and toxins as means of scaring people into thinking that
they need to buy this product.
Exactly. But the truth is, if you consume, even if as you consume a big cake, if your organs are fully functioning and you decided for your birthday to sit and eat a whole cake, your body will be able to clear that, no problems. If your body can't clear that quick enough and it can't clear that and you get sick, which we see normally with alcohol consumption, and people get admitted with pancreatitis because now their body couldn't clear alcohol quick enough, then there's a problem anyway there. So we need to deal with that organ failure or that problem.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And, you know, if you think about, you know, you've spoken about the detox process, but what are some things people can do to kind of support the body's process? I know you've mentioned water intake, but are there certain things people can do to kind of promote all of that?
Yeah. So these ways are to help us promote good health. And good health means good organ health, means immunity, means good gut health. You know, it's to help our body support its natural detoxification process, if I can do that.
Yes.
So drinking water is one of the fantastic ways. Drinking, an adult can drink about 2 liters, 1.5 to 2 liters of water a day. But again, that depends on your kidney function. We must always mention that because depending on what the nephrologist has said, you might find that somebody is maybe fluid restricted, so they can't drink 2 liters. But on average, that's about it. And then sleep. Sleep is fantastic. When we are sleeping, that's the time where most of our toxins from the body exit. That's the time where most of their toxins are regulated. So bulk of our detoxification also tend to happen when we are sleeping. So with poor sleep means that process is not happening optimally. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It still happens throughout the day, but it doesn't happen optimally. So sleeping well, and sleep is so underrated. You know, people go on 5 hours of sleep a night or 4 hours of sleep at night, and it's okay. And they say, I've been doing this for years, it's fine. And I think the pandemic also just somewhat messed us up in that sense, that a lot of people now have gotten used to not sleeping well or odd hours or something like that, working from home also contributing to that. So try to sleep at least 7 to 10 hours a night, 8 hours being like somewhat an ideal. The other thing is physical activity. Physical activity is very important for supporting these organs to do this detoxification process. So going for a walk, a jog, going to gym, aiming for at least 150 minutes a week minimum, which normally is about 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week of physical activity. Or if it's in a case of an hour, then you know you can, like 3 hours a week, you've already reached your minimum requirement. But trying to just keep active. And the other part of it is that we've adopted a sedentary lifestyle. So sedentary lifestyle meaning that, you know, certain things that are just part of our living, we've now are sitting most of the day. So over and above the time we spend at gym, most time we spend walking, that structured gym time or structured physical activity time, we still have to get up, you know, we still have to, you know, take breaks, walk around. If you're at the mall, use escalators instead of use stairs instead of escalators and lifts, park further to where you're going. Yeah, so that is part of active lifestyle, active living over and above the structured gym. The fourth thing, obviously, is eating well. That goes without say. Yeah. And eating well means prioritizing vegetables and fruits, prioritizing plants, whole grains as well. So if we eat more plants, we support these organs in doing this detoxification process. And that can sometimes sounds like a lot when you're thinking, okay, I need to prioritize plants. Where do I even begin?
Yeah,
there's even a recommendation now, like 30 plants a week. And you're like, what?
How are you gonna get in 30 different plants in a week?
To help you out, start small. Start just by aiming that your lunch and dinner, half a plate of your lunch and dinner is vegetables. At least two types of vegetables, maybe a green and an orange vegetable. It goes a long way. Different colors, so we're eating our rainbow, so different colors. The more colors in your plate, the better. And if you get into that habit, we know that with each color of the vegetables and fruits, we get certain antioxidants.
Yeah.
And those antioxidants, they play a very vital role into supporting organ health, liver, kidney, and all of that. So it's very important then to eat more colors. So if you've got 2-3 different vegetables in your day, or vegetables and fruits in your day, if you've got a green apple, then you've got carrots, they're orange, and then you've got spinach, or you've got beetroot going on, you've now are hitting it with antioxidants to support your organ health. So those are the things you can do. And then alcohol and caffeine.
Yeah.
Sort of trying to consume alcohol in right quantities. For a female, we say 1 unit a day.
I know.
And then for a male, we say 2 units a day. And a unit is about a glass of wine. I'm not talking about those massive glasses of wine. I'm talking about 150 mils ish, 150 to 180 mils of wine. And then also like a beer or a cider, that those sort of quantities are a unit. So monitoring your alcohol and trying to not overdo it, and trying not to do, other people bank alcohol, you know, they don't drink during the week, and then come weekend they go hard and heavy. So trying not to do that. Yeah,
saving your alcohol.
Don't save your alcohol weekend. For the
you
weekend
should not be doing that.
Yeah, because I see it a lot where I'll see an admission with pancreatitis, so inflamed in pancreas, acute pancreatitis in hospital, and a person will say, but I haven't been drinking, I only drank yesterday. And then you ask, how many units did you drink yesterday? Say, 12, 24. You see, so now you've overloaded your organ with a toxin, and it's going to be difficult for your organs to clear that toxin. So, and then caffeine is fantastic. Caffeine has health benefits, by the way, but we tend to overdo it. So there are limits to caffeine. There are limits to the quantity. It depends also on your lifestyle. It depends also on the diseases that you've got. Different guidelines for different lifestyles, and I mean different stages also of life cycle. But you know, somewhere between 4 to 5 cups of coffee a day seems to be okay. But coffee cannot replace water. You still need to hydrate. You still need to make sure that you hydrate enough throughout the day to be able to, you know, get the water benefit that I spoke about to support your organs.
Yes. And what would you say are some of the dangers of extreme detox methods out there? I know common ways people usually detox are, you know, your green tea or your lemon water or some of these marketed detox teas. But what would you say is more on the extreme side, because I know there are things like colon cleansers as well.
There are many ways, there are things or ways of detoxing, or, you know, it gets confusing because I'm saying detoxes but there are many ways people adopt with the intention of detoxing. That if those ways are part of a healthy diet and they are also doing the sleep part and physical activity, they're actually fine. They don't do any harm. Like green tea. Drinking green tea is fine. It's part of your healthy lifestyle. It's okay. Lemon water does no harm. If you want to drink water with lemon slices, Bobby's your uncle. Go for it.
As long as you brush the teeth afterwards so that you don't end up having cracks in the teeth.
You know, but now when you're going to be having those marketed detox teas, they are labeled detox tea with laxative effect, or you're doing colon cleanse, that's where it gets a bit extreme. Colon cleansing erodes your body of good bacteria greatly, because as they are pulling and taking all, they're saying they're taking all the dirt out and cleaning and removing bad bacteria. good bacteria are not spared in that process. They also leave. So now it means your microbiome, which is the community of bacteria in your gut, is now going to be affected. Yeah. That means now there's going to be an imbalance. And when there's an imbalance between good and bad bacteria, that's where we get constipated, we get bloating. And some people, depending on the disease they have, you find that somebody has inflammation in the small intestines, whether it's ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease or something like that. And then they go ahead and do a colon cleanse. That makes things worse. Or you've got a peptic ulcer somewhere there. And then you go ahead and do a colon cleanse. So those things, they cause, you know, they compromise our gut health long term. Another thing is that some of these extreme ways of detoxing, they make disordered eating worse. They affect your relationship with food. And we've spoken about this in previous episodes where certain things that are main for weight loss purposes or for that marketed as just these quick fixes, they do affect your relationship with food.
Yeah.
Because somewhat, you will now start thinking that feeling of being full and being satisfied is bad. Because then after that, you're thinking, oh, I need to detox. I've eaten too much. You hear people after holidays, after they've spent so much time with family, having a good, jolly time, then January comes, all they think about is how bad how bad they've been.
Yeah.
And that somewhat, you know, takes away the joy. It takes away that excitement that we still have to have around food. So that's a problem. And obviously, detoxing, it does not offer sustainable weight loss. It causes yo-yo dieting. Today you do it, you feel you've lost weight, you actually maybe have lost weight, and then boom, a couple of weeks later, you've now gained all that weight back. You go back and forth to a point where people even say that, you know, every now and then I detox, and then they do laxatives or whatever. Those ones.
Yeah.
We'll actually also need to do it an episode on laxatives. And
that's a good idea because I think there's a lot of people who
use laxatives to feel
so unhealthy.
Extremely.
You know, long term use of laxatives can cause so many gut health issues.
Mm.
Like people don't even believe because they think, oh, I'm just making things go quicker. It's just helping me to lose weight.
Yeah.
You've got the disordered eating side of it, but you've also got the gut health issue side of it as well.
And so I'm a dietitian with a special interest in gut health.
Mm.
So I know, and I'm always just thinking, how does this affect a person's gut health? Because if it affects a person's gut health, we need to just do away with it and do things that are going to support our gut health.
Yeah. So, you know, if we were to wrap up and you were to give us just a few pointers to take away from this, what would you say?
I say that I think, you know, the detox challenges that are out there, that tend to come out around this time, early, you know, time of the year. If they do encourage people to drink more water, to eat well, and to exercise, I'm okay with them because if they are means of helping people, you know, live more healthier, I'm okay with that. The only problem is when they push extremes, you know, they push that the only way to get this is then avoid. That I have a problem with because there is no science to that really. So I will think, that when we're talking about just what you can do today, just quick things, increase your water intake, choose more healthy drinks. So when you're trying to choose what to have, choose more healthy drinks, drinks that are low in sugar, whether it's teas, if you want to drink tea, cold or hot, if you want to do that, or low sugar versions of drinks, go for that. Also, watch your intake of alcohol and try to do that in a minimum because we mentioned that if you do that, if you can consume alcohol in high quantities, it affects your organs and that causes toxins to build up. And that's actually a medical reason why you need to now detoxify.
Yeah.
Eating more plants, it's fantastic. And I've said aiming that half a plate of your vegetables, half a plate of your main meals is vegetables, it's a great start. Mm-hmm. Secondly, eating more plants in a sense of whole grains. And how you can also do that is maybe going meatless once a week. And going meatless once a week doesn't necessarily mean that you have to now go and buy vegan labeled food items because sometimes they're not necessarily the healthiest sometimes. So try to, meatless day, eat more plants, eat more legumes, eat more beans, eat more lentils, chickpeas, all of those foods that are packed with fiber, and they bring in the antioxidants that we want to support your organ health.
Okay.
Reducing red meat seems also to have, you know, a science backing onto that to protect your organ health. So we know South Africans love their meat and they can have red meat every single day. So yeah. reducing your red meat means that. Doesn't mean you never, ever, ever have red meat, or just means once a week. And if you rotate your protein sources very well, it's doable, because you've got one meatless dinner. Then you've got chicken, fish. So more chicken and more fish. Maybe twice a day fish, and then three times a day chicken. Then you've got one red meat day, which is lamb, beef, whatever red meat that you want. And then in that way, you've rotated all your proteins quite well. Yeah. It helps you with your health. We know that eating more fish is good for heart health, but at the same time, you're reducing your red meat intake without completely cutting it off of your diet.
Okay.
You can decide, again, I want to mention this, you can decide to do meatless Wednesday. Doesn't have to be meatless Monday.
Yeah.
Because if you want to do your red meat be mohodu Monday, it's fine. You can do your red meat for the week to be mohodu Monday and then do meatless day any other time of the week. Because sometimes I feel like, because of the marketing of these two things, people think they need to choose on Monday whether to do meatless or mohodu. Do mohodu on a Sunday if you want to, but let be one red meat day and one meatless day at least. At least one meatless day and maximum one red meat day a week.
Yeah.
That's all. And then another thing is increased physical activity and sort of adopting a good sleep routine.
Mm.
And sleep hygiene is very important because it helps us sleep well. So when you're setting an alarm, try to, you know, determine your sleep time based on when you want to wake up. So if you want to wake up at 5 a.m., then, you know, set your sleep time. So I have two alarms. I have an alarm reminding me to go to bed.
And oh, that's clever.
Otherwise, if I don't have that, I'll find myself sort of thinking about the waking up alarm to say, oh, it's almost 11 and I'm not asleep. I've got 4 hours or 5 hours before I have to wake up. But now I have an alarm that says to me, it's time to power down. And it actually puts my phone on bedtime mode for that hour. Wow. Then I'm wrapping up, going to sleep.
Okay, no, that makes sense. And if you were to kind of just wrap all of this up, I know we've spoken a lot about detoxes, but I think, I think I really like the fact that, you know, you can make changes to your lifestyle to have more healthy habits. But at the end of the day, it's really about trying to make sure that you're not just choosing one thing to kind of have a complete effect on your health, but it's more about all the different kind of parts that you're trying to add into your diet to try and make it better, to make your lifestyle better. But yeah, in terms of just any final thoughts, what would you say?
A detox term is more a marketing term used to instill fear in us around feeling full, which is associated with weight gain. So to encourage people to be, it's just meant to encourage people to be hooked to the weight loss frenzy and making people scared of that feeling of being full.
Yeah.
Rather to embrace emptiness. So be careful when you're trying to follow anything that promises detox.
Yeah.
Scientifically, there is no specific thing. There is no one thing. It's about a big, all these pieces coming together to help you support your organs. And also, if you don't have any specific organ failure on the organs that I spoke about, you don't have to worry and have detox at the back of your mind, because your body is able to do that. All you can do to support your organ health is these things that we spoke about. Lastly, there is no one food or drink or item that can single-handedly change your life. It is about synergy.
Yes,
it is about that synergy. It is about synergy. It is about doing this and that and that and that and that and that and that
and that and that and that.
Because you know, if it was that simple, we will all just take that drink and be, you know, have good skin, have sleep well, and just be skinny. If we're using that word,
yeah.
If there's one thing, but it's about every day trying to do 5 things every month, setting your monthly goals if you want, and saying, these are my 5 must win battles for this month to improve my health. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. It's just about always trying and trying and trying. But there's no one thing. And if you keep on drilling that in your mind, that there's no one thing that is going to be this magic pill to improving your health or helping you with weight loss, then you will save a lot of money and it will save you a lot of hassle and you'll start to fall in love with food again.
Thank you for that, Mbali. I think it's... just about time for our nutrition nugget of the week.
Yay.
I think this time we're speaking a little bit about exercise, because it is that time of the year where we're all trying to get back into routine. And, you know, a lot of the time people aren't so sure how much they should exercise and what's the healthy recommendation when it comes to exercise. But it's always great to use, you know, the World Health Organization's recommendations as a baseline. So getting in at least 30 minutes of your physical activity 5 times a week, which is that 150 minutes a week recommendation. And trying to make sure that, you know, even if it's doing some walking or doing, you know, social events around an activity so that you're moving your body more. Or, you know, if it means that you also try and incorporate something that you used to love doing growing up, trying to join a sports team that you used to do, you know, things that are going to help you to be consistent is really important.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to exercise, it's really about just being consistent in it. And I know that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
But if it helps to have accountability, then look for someone who can help you. If it means that you find a biokineticist who can assist you, then maybe you can go that route as well, because they're the exercise scientists. If you're looking for someone who has a lot more expertise, then they're the people you go to. But yeah, when it comes to exercise, just find what works for you. And I always recommend, especially for anyone who is trying to, you know, lose weight, if you can do at least 2 times a week of your resistance training, so that's your high intensity interval training, or it's your weights training, anything where you're using your body weight or you're using weights themselves, it really does help to increase your muscle mass, and that increases your metabolic rates. And that is really important, just to make sure that you're also helping to support also the fat loss.
Okay? Yeah, 100%. So your next date with Bay, go hiking.
Yes, please take your person hiking. You will actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you can pack a nice little picnic afterwards, which would be very cute. Bring a little picnic back blanket. I'm not speaking from experience.
No.
Of course not.
No.
Of course not. Me?
Am I the drama?
Am I the villain? But yeah, it's a really nice way to just connect with your loved ones.
And be outdoor. Yeah.
Yeah. Get some fresh air. Get some vitamin D.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it from us.
Get some what now? Bye.